Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you tap into the power of choice to live life on your own terms, not the way someone else wants you to live it, and to strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, not extreme. Thank you for tuning in. There is real power in being able to live life on your own terms, and that's what we are about here at today's survival show. Practical survival is actually what we're all about, and you are listening to episode 22. It is Monday, the 28th of September, although you might not hear this until the 29th. It really depends. I'm recording this a little bit differently. I am on about a five-hour drive. I do a lot of traveling for my business. About a few days a week is what it amounts to. And I've got to drive between the Dallas-Fort Worth area and Houston, Texas, about a good 5 hours. So I am taking advantage of some windshield time and bringing you and producing episode 22 of today's Survival Show. So thanks again for listening. If you are a first-time listener, I want to welcome you and tell you that you have tuned in to a voice of reason in a chaotic world. We are practical survivalists here. We do not believe in anything extreme. I've been getting a lot of compliments about my show lately, that we pretty much take the common ground, the practical road, and I really believe that that's what's going to reach the most amount of people. I want you to be able to share my shows with other people, especially those of people you may have in your life that you know are probably not prepared. And what I don't want them to happen, is for them to listen to this show and all of a sudden some kind of whacked out conspiracy theories or some really strange stuff is talked about, and then that person tunes me off, tunes you off, and then says, hey, don't ever let me listen to that stuff ever again. That's not what we want. We want to create a big tent, get a lot of people involved in this, because I really believe that this is the change that needs to happen in not just America, but in the world today. You know, John F. Kennedy, former President Kennedy, once said that if we do not allow a peaceful revolution to take place, then a violent revolution will become inevitable. And that's not something that I want. So again, thank you for tuning in to all of our international listeners. And by the way, there's quite a few people now in other countries. This proves that people everywhere, not just the United States, want to learn how to become more self-sufficient and live a more secure life. That's human nature. That's what we want to do. That's what God created us to do. He created us in His own image to become independent thinkers and to use our free will. And this is not a religious show, folks, but I do believe that we do have a creator. And I'm not going to tell you what religion to believe, but we do have a creator, and it is inherent inside of every single person to be free. And that's what we talk about in this show, is how to be free, how to live life on our own terms, the way we want to do it. So before we get into the topic matter, I do have a couple of announcements I want to make real quick. This will take less than a minute. If you have not become a member of our forum, please go to todayssurvival.com/forum or just go to the main website, todayssurvival.com, and click the forum link, and it will take you exactly where you need to go. We have a really good discussion going on in our forum about all kinds of challenges in life and all kinds of ideas. And I can guarantee you something. If you spend 20 minutes looking at our forum and you haven't learned something, I will be quite surprised. It doesn't cost you anything. Become a member of our forum. And also, I want to talk about today's sponsor of our show, The Survival Mom. I've mentioned her the last couple of shows. I'm going to go ahead and mention her again. Lisa, who runs a blog called The Survival Mom. It is fantastic. And why is a guy like me promoting The Survival Mom? Because you can get ideas from anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, I'm going to speak to you here for a minute. if you have a wife, a girlfriend, a significant other that you want to get interested in how to live a more secure and independent life, you might want to have her go to www.thesurvivalmom.com. So thanks again, Lisa, for your support. And that wraps up the announcements. Now, what are we going to talk about in this show? Two things. One is going to be very brief. The other one's pretty much going to be the main topic. The brief topic matter that I want to cover is a little bit of a follow-up to episode 21, which was on fitness and on dieting. I made some comments in that show about the proper combination of foods that you should eat to be healthy and to maintain your weight loss if you've lost weight or to begin losing weight. And again, I'm not a doctor, but I want to talk about one more subject matter regarding that, because I got an email, actually, from somebody asking me, what do I mean by the right combinations of foods? You have to understand that your body digests certain foods in different ways. And quite often we mix the wrong types of foods together when we eat, and then therefore it throws our body all out of whack whenever we're trying to digest our food. The easier we can digest our food, the less it's going to be hanging around, and the less it's going to hang around inside of our system and turn into fat. So here's what I mean by a couple of things. First of all, you got to be real careful about not mixing proteins and carbohydrates. What's a typical protein? Meat is typical protein. Beef, fish, chicken. That is a typical food that is a protein. Eggs are also proteins. Be careful not to mix them with carbohydrates. The enzymes in your body that break down proteins and carbohydrates can become in conflict with each other when your body is trying to break down the food. And what happens to food that doesn't get broken down well inside your body or undigested is it turns to fat. And that's not what we want. Well, what are some common carbohydrates? Anything with wheat? Anything with rice? And so I made the statement earlier in episode 21, what do we often eat with our steak? A baked potato, right? What do we typically have with a bacon and eggs breakfast? Toast, biscuits, bad. You know, it's okay to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast because those are two proteins. The problem you run into is when you eat the toast and you eat the biscuits with it. So what should you eat? Well, proteins mixed with vegetables are good combinations. So if you want to eat a big porterhouse steak, eat a big porterhouse steak. Eat it with some green beans or, you know, broccoli or some good green vegetables. Carbohydrates in vegetables. You want to eat pasta? It's great. Eat pasta. Eating pasta itself is not going to put on weight, but eat pasta with some vegetables. Unhealthy combinations. Proteins with sweet and sour fruits and proteins, like I mentioned, with carbohydrates. Also, carbohydrates with fruits. Try not to eat carbs and fruits, proteins and fats, and try not to mix vegetables and sweet fruits, like vegetables and oranges together. Not a good mix. So that's what I'm talking about, and I'm going to go ahead and put that same link from episode 21 into the show notes and the posting of this episode as well, so you can see what I mean about mixing foods. Believe it or not, even mixing some of the wrong foods can end up putting a lot of weight on us because we simply cannot digest our food properly because of the enzymes that go on inside of our body when we're trying to digest. So, again, I'm not a doctor or a nutritionist, but hopefully I clarified that for the person that sent me the email wanting some more clarification of what did I mean by be careful of what types of foods that you mix. And remember, staying fit, staying in shape, and staying healthy, what could be more important than that for survival? So if you're tuning in for the first time and you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 21, I talked about staying fit and eating properly. You might want to check that out. That applies to anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And if I sounded a little bit distracted right there, it's because I am, because I'm on the freeway just south of downtown Dallas, and some idiot in front of me in a Grand Prix feels like their Grand Prix can only do 45 miles an hour. I just don't get it why. But at least I got to give this person credit. They're in the right lane. They're not clogging up the left lane going so slow. All right. The major topic is, what can we learn, or have we learned anything from history? I'm going to try to do the best I can to make some aspects from our history interesting to you, because for a lot of us that was a boring subject in school. But I think you're going to enjoy what I have to share with you. Have we learned from history? And, you know, what does this have to do with living a more secure life? Well, I think it has a lot, because not only do we have to understand the history of our government, or if you're in another country, you need to understand the history of your government, but also you need to understand your own history. Have you learned from your past? My mentor, Tom Hopkins, used to teach all the time, the past is a bucket of ashes. And he used to say, throw it away, because the past is no good. Don't live in the past. I agree with that. The past is a bucket of ashes. Throw it out. But before you throw it in the trash can, make sure you learn something from that history. We've all heard the old saying that if we don't learn from history, that we are doomed to repeat it, correct? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our history, and for my international listeners, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, and I've also got some sound clips I'm going to play for you. Tell me if some of your country's history isn't quite a bit similar, especially if you're in a freedom-loving country. I think you've probably been through some of the same types of stuff at some point in your country's history that we have too. So let's learn from it, and here's what I'm going to talk about first. I'm going to talk about an event that happened on November 19th, 1863, and that was Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Now, it's one of the most famous speeches ever given. Real quick question for all of you listening today. Does anybody know how long the Gettysburg Address took President Lincoln to deliver it? I paused there for a little bit to see if maybe you know. The Gettysburg Address, folks, lasted only 2.5 minutes. And you might think it was a long, drawn-out speech because it's so famous, but it was not. And do you know what he was doing when he delivered that address? He was dedicating a cemetery for Civil War soldiers. As a matter of fact, the very cemetery that President Lincoln dedicated, my uncle was buried in that cemetery just a year ago. My uncle passed last spring. And he was a Civil War buff. He was very much into studying the United States Civil War. And he was such a Civil War buff that the family got the idea to bury him there in a spot that he loved and visited many times, at that cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So Uncle Frank, part of this is for you. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the Gettysburg Address. When Lincoln was consecrating that cemetery, he was talking a lot about remembering what the people who fought that battle were fighting for. And listen to this. Since it only took President Lincoln 2.5 minutes, I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, because a lot of schools don't teach this. You've probably heard the first one or two sentences of the Gettysburg Address because it's very famous. But I don't know if you've heard the whole thing. So I'll try to get through it in a little bit less time than President Lincoln did. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what these men did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which those who fought here and have thus so far nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. Now, the reason I did that is because there's some important lessons in just that 2.5 minutes. And I have to ask you the question, do you think we have learned from some of those lessons? I don't think so. I don't think we've learned from history, folks. In fact, we are repeating history over and over and over again right before our eyes. I have some audio clips that I'm going to play for you that will prove to you how we continue to do the same stupid stuff over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? The definition of insanity, doing the same thing you've always done and expecting a different result. As survivalists, we have to do something different. We can't continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Isn't it interesting, President Lincoln, one of his lines in that address, he said, "The world will little note nor even long remember what we say here." President Lincoln wasn't even sure that the world was going to remember what was said in his speech dedicating that cemetery, now known as the Gettysburg Address. Even President Lincoln didn't think that anybody was going to pay any attention to what was being said or what those men fought for. And sometimes I have the feeling that we're not paying any attention at all. What our brave men and women, those who are no longer with us today, and even those who are with us today, what they fought for. So to all you veterans out there, and I never served, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what it's like to be in the military. One of my greatest regrets, I've never served, but I want to take this time to salute you. Thank you for your service to our country. To those of you in other countries listening to me, and I know some of you have served in the military of your country, congratulations on your service also to your country. But even Lincoln didn't believe that people were going to learn from what had happened there at the Civil War. And you know how prophetic Abraham Lincoln seemed to have been, because if you roll the tapes forward, even up to today, ask yourself a question. Have we learned from our past? Did our society learn anything from the domestic tragedy called the Great Depression? That generation who lived through the Great Depression learned a lot. But fast forward 2 generations beyond that to many of the people who are alive today. Have we learned? If so, do you think we would have had this recent economic crisis? If people had learned to live within their means, if people had learned to save money, if people had learned to live on only 75% or less of the income that they make, do you think so many people would have overextended themselves with too much credit and mortgages too large if they had learned from the history of what this country went through and the plight that people went through during the Great Depression? No, we didn't learn. And a lot of people think, well, we've sure learned our lesson now from 9/11. Since September 11th, boy, we've learned our lesson about terrorism. Really? You think so? Have you watched much of the news lately? I don't care what you listen to. I don't care which news station you listen to. Do you really think that we have learned our lesson that was only 8 years ago? Do you think we're as vigilant as we should be? And you know, if you're going to be a survivor, you've got to learn the basic truth about learning from history and taking from the past and investing it into the future. After you do that, then do like Tom Hopkins says, throw that past out because it is a bucket of ashes and don't continue to live in it. And I'm going to go ahead and throw my hand up. I'm a great offender of not learning from the past. Did I say that right? I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm just like you. I am no different. There have been many, many mistakes that I've repeated over and over again. But I can tell you one thing. I can tell you one mistake that I am not going to repeat again. If disaster hits me or my family, and it doesn't, and I'm not talking about a disaster on a huge scale, folks. I'm talking about just a normal, everyday disaster. If I should lose my job, if, God forbid, a close family member of mine dies, if my house were to be burglarized, if my home burned down, if a weather event came through and forced us to evacuate, even if it's something as common as if the power goes out in my neighborhood for 5 or 6 or 7 days or more, in the past, I was not very prepared for that. I have learned that lesson. I will be ready this time. My wife and I are now at a situation in our life where we now have 6 months of expenses in the bank. Well, it's not all in the bank. We have it in some alternative investments, which I'm not going to get too detailed about. But we can support ourselves financially for 6 full months. And that's based on our current expenditure rate right now. And that's one of the steps toward independence that Dave Ramsey, Total Money Makeover, teaches. You eventually need to get to the point where you have 6 months of expenses saved up. Are you at that point? In other words, if a disaster happened, what if you lose your job? How good of a feeling would it be to you to know that for the next 6 months, you're going to be able to pay all your bills, and if you reduce your expenses, you can probably even go longer than 6 months? How great of a feeling would it be to know that you've got 90 days worth of food? You don't have to worry about paying your bills or even a grocery bill for several months. So I can promise you that the next time something hits me and my family, we're going to be a whole lot better prepared than we used to be. And that is called, folks, learning from the past. So I want to play an audio clip for you. You're going to hear some famous voices in the next 3 clips that I'm going to play. I'm not going to tell you who these voices are after the audio clip is over with, and of course you'll probably have it all figured out who it is. But once you figure out who it is, listen carefully to what these people are saying. One voice comes from the 1960s. Another voice comes from the 1980s. And another voice comes from 2009. And it seems like, I'm going to give you a hint, they're all men. Now, sorry, ladies, and no offense to you. It's just that when I was putting this program together, it was all men who said this. But see if they're talking about the same time period, which is right now. They're not. Again, one's talking about the 60s, one's talking about the 80s, and one's talking about 2009. But when you listen to what they say, you're going to swear that they're talking about what's going on right now, today. So here is the first famous voice from the 1960s that I want you to listen to. This just takes a few minutes, and then we'll discuss it when it's over with. Okay, so listen carefully.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it.
The excellent words of President John F. Kennedy in 1961 when he was talking to members of the media. Isn't it interesting how he was talking about a secret society and that how people deplore secretism? In 1961 he was talking about that. Don't we have secretism going on today? Again, I told you, I said, you're going to listen to some of these people talk, and you're going to swear they're talking about today, and the oppressive regime that he was talking about. Obviously, in 1961, he was talking about the communist regime. But today, we deal with different types of oppressive regimes out there. And today, we deal with secrecy in government. I'm not just picking on this current administration. I'm picking on the Bush administration, and I'm picking on the Clinton administration. And if you want to keep on going, we'll go all the way back. We'll go all the way back to as far back as you want. We don't learn from history. And therefore, we are doomed to repeat it. And I like how President Kennedy finished that little audio clip by saying that an error does not become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. And we have government right now making all kinds of mistakes, and they're refusing to correct it, and they are running roughshod. And that's what you see today in the uprising. You see people that have had enough. And you know, I firmly believe you don't see people only simply protesting the Obama administration. I'm not putting this blame squarely on Barack Obama. And folks, I don't care what your political beliefs are. All political beliefs are welcome at today's survival show. Let me be very clear on that. People are not just protesting Obama. They are protesting the secrecy and the errors of government through and through. They're protesting this crap that John Kennedy was talking about on this audio clip in 1961. And people have had enough. But you know, here's the problem. There are too many sheep and too many ostriches out there. Sheep believing everything that they're told. Ostriches with their heads stuck in the sand, making believe that there's not a problem. And there's not enough people to do anything about it. Now, I don't believe the answer is only at the ballot box. But that's part of it, folks. You've got to do your civic duty and speak out at the ballot box and every chance you get. We're not going to change things completely in this society by voting in different leaders because, again, those leaders, if you put new leaders in place, they're not going to learn the lessons of history. You're going to see what I mean when we listen to the rest of these audio clips. But it will help. But you also have to change inside of you. And that's why I told you I'm not going to make the same mistake again. The next time that I'm in an emergency situation or a disaster hits me, I'm going to react a lot differently because I am learning some lessons from the past. So now I'm going to play another famous voice. This time from the 1980s. And I want you to listen to this famous voice. And again, this man is talking about that time period. But listen very carefully to what he says. And you tell me if there's some similarities in what he's talking about that pertain to the situation that we find ourselves in today. Here you go.
These United States are confronted with an economic affliction of great proportions. We suffer from the longest and one of the worst sustained inflations in our national history. It distorts our economic decisions, penalizes thrift, and crushes the struggling young and the fixed income elderly alike. It threatens to shatter the lives of millions of our people. Idle industries have cast workers into unemployment, human misery, and personal indignity. Those who do work are denied a fair return for their labor by a tax system which penalizes successful achievement and keeps us from maintaining full productivity. But great as our tax burden is, it has not kept pace with public spending. For decades, we have piled deficit upon deficit, mortgaging our future and our children's future for the temporary convenience of the present. To continue this long trend is to guarantee tremendous social, cultural, political, and economic upheavals. You and I, as individuals, can, by borrowing, live beyond our means, but for only a limited period of time. Why, then, should we think that collectively, as a nation, we're not bound by that same limitation? We must act today in order to preserve tomorrow. The economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. But if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone else? All of us together, in and out of government, must bear the burden. We hear much of special interest groups. Well, our concern must be for a special interest group that has been too long neglected. It knows no sectional boundaries or ethnic and racial divisions, and it crosses political party lines. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. This breed called Americans, with no barriers born of bigotry or discrimination. Putting America back to work means putting all Americans back to work.
So there you go. Back in 1980, during his first inaugural address, President Reagan was talking then about piling deficits upon deficits and mortgaging our future. Does that sound like he was talking about 1980, or does it sound like he was talking about today? Well, he was talking about 1980 because that's what we were doing. And he mentioned how the tax burden still doesn't make up for the government spending that was out of control. Was he talking about 1980 or was he talking about today? You see how we're not learning the lessons of history? Ronald Reagan was not a perfect president either, but his message 29 years ago still applies. Why haven't we changed things in these 29 years? Because human nature is to continue to repeat the same mistakes. And so I am asking you to go against your human nature. Don't keep repeating the same things over and over again. And did you notice that he said that in this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And look what we've got now. We have a government who thinks that they are the solution to the problem when in actuality, the reverse is what's happening. Is government is going to be the problem. Did you notice how President Reagan also said that too many of us believe that government or that society has become way too complex? And he said, if we're not able to govern ourselves, then who among us can govern other people? And why do I bring that up? Because it's also our objective, and it should be your duty, folks, to spread survivalism to other people. Not only do you have to live the survival-minded life, but your example is going to spread it to other people. But who among us as survivalists can profess to other people to do the same when we're not doing it ourselves? And just as President Reagan in that clip was criticizing government, I think the broader message that he is talking about is us as a people. You know, if we can't get our own house in order, how can we expect somebody else to get their own house in order? And did you notice that President Reagan also talked about special interest groups in that clip? And he said the special interest group that must not be ignored is the special interest group called the people, whom the government really works for. Well, the next famous voice, you're actually going to hear two famous voices in the next clip. They're talking about the same thing. These next two people you're going to hear talk are talking about the same thing President Reagan was talking about in 1980, folks. They're going to talk about special interest groups that are ruling the roost. And they're going to talk about government of the people being neglected. So back in 1863, President Lincoln talked about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And then in 1960, we have John Kennedy talking about secret societies and talking about regimes that want to destroy the people. And then in 1980, we have President Reagan talking about a special interest group called the people who are being neglected. And now still in 2009... we still have famous people talking about how we, the people, are being neglected. You see what I mean, folks? We're not learning from our past. I know I keep saying this over and over again, but I want this to be a wake-up call for you. And I went back through history, and I went back a long ways in time to find things that were said and find things that were talked about That's the same doggone stuff that we're talking about today. And it just frustrated me to no end. And so I thought to myself, I've got to make this episode 22. I've got to talk about how we're not learning from the past. So here you go. Here's the remaining two famous voices. And these two people were having this conversation that you're going to hear just this summer. This took place in the year 2009, in July of 2009. And once again, see if what they're talking about is in any way similar to what Ronald Reagan said in 1980, to what John F. Kennedy said back in 1961, or to what Abraham Lincoln was talking about in 1863. See if there's any similarities. Here you go.
Welcome to Freedom Watch. The Liberty Power Hour is on. A 60-minute injection of raw liberty streaming from the highly acclaimed strategy room at FoxNews.com. I'm your host, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Are you ready for this? The Federal Reserve is now threatening the American people with higher interest rates if Congress continues to attempt to expose its private, super secret, and unregulated methods. You know what the Federal Reserve is. It's a semi-private bank. Its board of governors is appointed by the president, but it is privately owned. The amount of its wealth, the loans that it makes, the foreign governments it has shorn up, and the debts that it has incurred have all been kept from you. Why should you know what the Fed has done and what the Fed is doing? That's easy. It prints your money. It controls your interest rates. It is the lender of last resort to your government. The bond rating agencies view operational independence of a country's central bank as an important factor in determining sovereign credit interest rates. Translation, that any threat to the Fed's privacy and independence could lower the Treasury's debt rating and thus raise its cost of borrowing. In other words, Congressman Ron Paul's House Bill, H.R. 1207, the bill that would audit the Fed, the bill that has over 250 co-sponsors in the House, is a direct threat to the independence and the privacy of the Fed. The Federal Reserve so fears that an audit will undermine its secretive ways, expose its numerous misdeeds, and its mega grand theft scams that it will hold you responsible for this. This is plain and simply extortion. The Fed is basically saying, audit us and we will raise your interest rates. No one in the government should ever be able to threaten to perform such an act. It's my pleasure to introduce my good friend and one of the great defenders of freedom and liberty in Congress, in the United States, and on the planet today. Congressman Ron Paul joins us from our nation's capital. Congressman, we couldn't start the show without you. Welcome back to Freedom Watch.
Thank you. Good to be with you again. Well, Judge, about two-thirds of your question, I think, was canceled out, but I heard your opening statement. And that's essentially what it is. It is extortion and threats and scare the people. But that's the way government generally works, whether it's an economic calamity or an international calamity. It's always to scare the people, intimidate them, and make sure that the people know that if they don't do the bidding of the powerful elite, then worse conditions can exist. But how can truth ever be harmful? You know, truth shouldn't be harmful. Hiding the truth doesn't really change the truth. And this idea that if we don't know what the Fed has been doing, it's going to make us feel better. You know, for instance, I think one thing that an audit might reveal would be all the communications between the Fed and Goldman Sachs. Just think of what kind of communications we might find there and what kind of promises were made and how Goldman Sachs came out so golden. But that should be available to us. If there's a lot of power, you know, in the hands of the Federal Reserve officials, we ought to know how they're using that power. What kind of promises do they make overseas?
Okay, and I'm sure you figured out who those two people were, Representative Ron Paul and Judge Andrew Napolitano. Now, didn't I hear something in the beginning of that audio clip about secrecy? about the secrecy of the Federal Reserve. And folks, if you thought that the Federal Reserve was a public institution, think again. It's not. It's a private. It's a semi-private institution. Judge Napolitano was right about that. But they were talking about secrecy. The Federal Reserve does operate in secrecy, and the monetary policy set by the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen, affects everybody listening to this show, even if you don't live in the United States. Our monetary policy here in this country has a ripple effect throughout the world. They were talking about the secrecy. Wait a minute. Wasn't a President Kennedy back in 1961 also talking about secrecy? Wow, we haven't changed, have we? Still secret stuff going on, isn't there? And so now this ridiculously secret organization called the Federal Reserve wants to penalize us, charge us higher interest rates, just because we want to find out what it is that they're doing. They work for us, we the people, but because we want to call them out on what they're doing, they want to penalize us now and charge us higher interest rates. You've got to be kidding. Now, I'm not, you know, this is not a bunch of conspiracy stuff, folks. You know, I told you that today's survival show is about making survival simple, not extreme. We're not talking conspiracy theories here. We're talking about the truth. This is what is going on. It's reality, folks. Wake up. Get a clue. This is what is happening. Pull your head out of the sand if you're somebody listening to this show for the first time. And if you've been one of those types of people that has had your head buried, I'm glad you're now listening to this show. This is what is going on. This is not some conspiracy, whacked out, nut job types of people that are talking here. This is the truth. And so this corrupt organization, the Federal Reserve, pretty much wants to pull extortion on the American people just for finding out the truth. And as Winston Churchill said, the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. I'm not making a political statement here, folks, because I played a Republican, I played a Democrat for you, and I played a Libertarian. Even though Ron Paul ran on the Republican ticket, he's pretty much a Libertarian in most of what he proposes. All political beliefs are welcome at today's survival show. I keep saying that. This was not meant to be a political message. This was meant to be a message about history, and about how we continue to repeat it and repeat it, because we're not learning the lessons from it. So I think I've pretty much made my point, and I've said that enough times now. But I guess I want to conclude this episode by just asking you some questions. And I've been asking myself this question for a long time, long before I started doing today's survival show. Are you doing the same things you've always done and expecting to get a different result? Not only are you going to be insane, but you're going to destroy yourself. It's time to do something different. It's time to take action. And I don't care what you do. As a matter of fact, can I make a suggestion? If you're somebody that has not done a whole lot to prepare yourself for what this future holds, just start with a couple of basic things. Pick anything. I don't care. Go back and listen to the first 21 episodes. They're only an average of about 40 minutes each on the average. Go back and listen to them. It's not going to take you that long. And just pick one or two things. Or go through the listing of all my shows and pick which two or three appeal to you the most. And start there. Do you have a $1,000 emergency fund? Do you have 30 days worth of food? Do you have, 10 gallons of clean drinking water stored? Do you have an emergency bag put together that will keep you and your family afloat for 3 days if you had to evacuate and leave your house? Do you have your emergency plans in writing in a three-ring binder, and do you have them backed up to a computer? Do you even have a plan? Have you had a family meeting to discuss what you're going to do if there's some kind of an emergency or some kind of a family disaster? When's the last time you changed the oil in your car? Do you have a good, well-running, well-maintained vehicle that you can depend on in an emergency situation? Do you own a firearm if you're legally allowed to own one? Do you have a way to protect your home and family in case someone were to try to attack you? Do you have a home security system? Have you reinforced the locks on your doors? Do you have another way to defend yourself in your home if you're not legally allowed to own a firearm? If you haven't even done a couple of the things that I've just mentioned, get to work. Let me tell you what happened just a couple of days ago. A friend of ours here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area was having some problems with her vehicle. So she called my wife and I, and she asked if we would come and check it out. I checked it out, figured out there was a dead battery. We helped her with the money to get a new battery. And I told her that I would change the battery in her car for her. And while I was changing the battery in this lady's car, we were out in a parking lot somewhere. I can't even remember exact location where we were at. I was so busy trying to get this battery changed and pay attention to what I was doing. I don't even remember exactly the spot. But my wife and my son said, you know, I'm thirsty. And I said, well, all you got to do is pop open the trunk of our car. There's a case of bottled water in the trunk. My wife looked at me and she said, really? I said, yeah, there's a case of bottled water in the trunk of our car. So she goes, she opens up the trunk, she gets a bottle for herself, she brings me a bottle of much-needed water because I was sweating changing a battery, and a bottle for my son. And she said, man, that's great that that water was in the trunk. I said, well, there's always a case of bottled water in the trunk, honey. It's always there. It's always there because I believe in just having the basic necessities available to me at all times in case I need them. And you should have seen the smile that came across her face, because she was thirsty and she was sweating. She needed a drink of water. And even though that water wasn't cold, it was wet, and it quenched her thirst because she needed a drink. And it was there. It was there because I believe, in fact, I keep two cases of water in the trunk of both of my vehicles. It's called being prepared. It's called doing the basics. As soon as you're done listening to today's show, go find some bottled water on sale. You can find it somewhere for $2.99 a case. Drop $6. Get a couple of cases and put it in your car. I don't care if that's all you do. Just get a start. Don't let history continue to repeat itself, because as you just heard, starting from 1863 all the way to 2009, these people are talking about the same things over and over again. So thank you for listening to episode 22. This is Bob Main. You've just listened to today's survival show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms, so that none of these yo-yos can tell you how to live it. And we help you strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, not extreme. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to sign off, and we will catch you next time.